Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for some coverage of the Challenge 37, Spies, Lies, and Allies. We are back. I am very excited to get back in here talking about the challenge, being alongside my co-host. Of course, I am Matt alongside Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
Bruh, we're back. I'm so excited. Oh, you know, for a while there, I had talked about how, why is the challenge coming back in August? I need for it to wait till September. And I would say, as for me and you both, in terms of scheduling, would have been nice if it was in September. But overall, very excited it's back. And I have enjoyed these episodes. So overall, you know, pumped to be here.
Who premieres a show in August? August 11th? What? I mean, yeah, Drag Race kind of does that over the summer, and I feel like I'm used to that. But what are we doing here?
There's no Drag Race off season. There should be, but I've just accepted it for the challenge. I thought we were finally going to have one, but that lasted about 6 weeks. So here we are back talking about the challenge, just long enough for me to almost finish up a Love Island season. But, you know, big new cast to talk about.
Right. So, I mean, to touch on that, I was going to ask, first of all, how are you? How have you been in the, you know, month and change since we have had a break talking about the challenge? Obviously, you've been super tied down with Love Island. As you know, I haven't had a single second to watch a second of Love Island. I will when I have some free time. But how has that all been going? How's life?
You don't have to.
Okay.
It's a season of Love Island. No, it, you know, it's had its ups and downs. We are stuck with a cast of mostly unlikable people, I would say, towards the end, and not a ton of great relationships. So Love Island has been an experience. I am very excited to go from podcasting about 10 hours of TV a week to only one and a half to get back in there. We don't even have an All-Stars season to currently cover. So this is a welcome change for me. I am very glad to be talking about all of these people that I missed greatly and only have to deal with once a week.
Yeah, missed greatly is one way to put it. But no, I see what you mean. I mean, there's, you know, we talked a lot in our draft podcast, which if for some reason anybody is, you know, jumping, or I don't know, for some reason there could always be new friends along the way. But it, so I guess if you are new to our coverage of the challenge, we did a draft for this season months back when the cast had been filming. So, you know, we tried to do it early to avoid anybody potentially accidentally being spoiled. So we did the must win draft that we always do with Haley Strong and the titular Colin Stone, and then the must lose draft with our friend from the Rehap-Ups, Brian Cohen and Ali Lasher. Both of those were a lot of fun, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on both of those drafts as we go here. What was I even saying at the start of that? I don't know. I don't know. That's what we had done, and now we're back here to, you know, get into the season 37. I mean, like you mentioned, both of us are pretty busy. I am working a lot, but that's nothing new for me in the summer, so it's, you know, I'm fine. But as far as having time for TV goes, not the fine. I mean, Wednesday and Thursday is now getting extremely tight with a Wednesday and Thursday night episode of Big Brother. The challenge is now here, and Drag Race is on Thursdays, and I only have so much time, so this is not going to be the most fun, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, you know, Love Island ends for me soon, but doesn't mean that everything is free and clear. So we'll figure out, we'll make the schedule work however we have to, but, you know, it's a new season of the challenge. We talked about, I think where you might have been leading is, I don't know that we were the most excited about this cast of vets when we were doing our draft podcast.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about them just in the overall picture, you know, 1.5 episodes in, I would say?
It doesn't feel like a new season. I feel like I'm still watching the same season. They just replaced half the cast with, you know, with new vets, which is pretty much exactly what happened. But like, I don't know, just seeing, like, to, you know, cut ahead, like Anissa won the first challenge, and I'm like, oh, she just won the first challenge on last season. That was like two yep. months ago. It feels like, you know, the way that they're continuing the storylines, like talking about Devin and the Big Brother Alliance and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, that didn't end like a long, like that was just happening. And the fact that the cast is so similar as far as the vets go, it is the exact same veteran crop plus Amanda Garcia. Like, it doesn't feel different, and I'm not sure 100% how I'm going to feel about that going forward. I mean, I'm overall elated because I have Amanda, I have Ashley, I have Big T, I have Michelle, had Michaela. There's a lot of people on this season that I'm very excited about. And just to knock on wood, but Ashley Mitchell did not go home first. And that's already a start. So overall, I'm feeling good, but I don't know how I'll feel in over the next 19 freaking weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because Big Brother is so good, so I'm on a high, or Love Island is so bad, so I had low expectations. But even the vets that I'm tired of, I'm like, I'm coming in here, I'll give Josh a chance, maybe. I don't know. I am in a positive mood. So, you know, Tori didn't bother me as much as I thought maybe, like, would on a, you know, a premiere episode for the challenge. I feel like I have renewed energy for some of these vets, which I'm sure they will quickly try me on. But as of right now, in terms of the vets, I am not as down on it as I once was. I feel like there actually are some new interesting storylines that we have yet to explore. One of which I was very nervous that we might lose if Ashley were to go in the Purge. And also, I love this newbie cast a lot from what we've seen so far. So overall, I'm two thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in general, we kind of have to give these producers credit for, you know, they do seem to do a good job at finding newbies. War of the Worlds, that whole era when they brought in like a whole crop of newbies. Granted, you could also argue that a lot of them are not here anymore. So it's like, are they all that good? But I don't know. I think that like some of those seasons were fun while we had them. And now here we are with like a whole new crop. And, you know, it's more than half of these people being newbies again. And it's always good to keep it fresh and keep it new and keep moving forward. And, you know, I'm sure a good amount of these people will become regulars for the next two, maybe three seasons, maybe some of them even longer. Like, look at the Big T's who, you know, was from that older crop and now is on her fourth, fifth season, whatever it is. So you never know how long these people are going to be around for. So, you know, you're looking at the beginning of this story, and I was thinking about it because, you know, just to we'll obviously get into the Nani and Casey of it all, but I was thinking about like when they had their first season together. I feel like I'm like flashing back in my own head of like, I think there was scenes, right, of like this potentially like the connection that the two of them had. And I remember like Anissa stepping in between the two of them like, oh, Casey has a girlfriend. Like, I'm, you know, you never know when you're going to be watching the beginning of someone's story that will play out over the next couple of seasons. So you know, keeping it all inside my head and you know, talking about it all here, I still am excited to be here and doing it all. So, you know, that's where I'm at.
Exactly. The thing is, I think they did do a depends how you measure it, good job of finding TV characters on War of the Worlds 1 and subsequent seasons. The problem is they also did a bad job of making sure that they weren't problematic in the future.
So
lost quite a few along the way. But so far, minus one of these newbies, I don't know anything problematic about most of them. So I am currently excited about the batch. I'm hoping we get some new stars, you know, as the vets are talking about, like, there's very few of them here, and I would say there are very few of them who are like available returners on the franchise. Like, there's not that many staples that are missing at the moment. You know, a handful, but there's not that many people where I'm dying to know where they are on this season. So I'm really excited to potentially make a few more names for this franchise.
Yeah, it's just, and I mean, to, you know, we talked about the cast, of course, during the drafts and stuff, but it's still bizarre to me to turn on the challenge. And not that it's bizarre that this person is here or that these people are here, but like Michelle Fitzgerald is now on my MTV, the challenge. Like, seeing, and you know, whatever people think about him or whatever, Tommy being there as well, just seeing like this whole new crop of Survivor people like being in the mix of the show, I was like, this is kind of bringing back the memories of seeing the Big Brother crew on for the first time with Natalie and Victor. And as Paulie and Davon came on, I'm like, is this like we already had Jay, but like we're really going to start pulling in some survivors and obviously some international survivors. So I don't know. This kind of also feels like maybe the start of that door being a little bit more open. And it does feel more fresh than I expected that it would when the cast list first came out. So, you know, and we had that first episode that we're definitely going to talk about with getting to meet some of these people. So within this first hour and no 2.5 hours of challenge content from this week, I'm feeling good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I'm incredibly excited about the people that I knew coming into this. I feel like basically everyone has delivered what I thought they would, some less so than others. But, you know, that was my expectation for some, Tommy. But I guess especially aided by losing Michaela here, I would say that I am probably even more excited about the people that I don't know coming into this season. I feel like getting to, like, you know, see all these stories of people from diverse backgrounds or, like, diverse locations of the world. We're getting so many new stories and just personalities that I'm very, very excited to learn more about these people.
Mm-hmm. So as I continue to wipe dust off of my desk, I'm not kidding. I just was telling Scally before we started, I have not sat at this desk, used this microphone. Today is August 12th. The last time I was in front of the microphone, June 28th. So this desk does have a lot of dust, and I feel you all judging me that my room is not cleaner, but I haven't had much time. Okay. So yeah, dust is mostly wiped off, and I'm ready to talk about this, these two episodes. Do we have any other place to start other than going chronologically with this this global activation episode?
No, I'm glad to talk about the launch special. Thought it was a ton of fun, and I think that if people have not seen it already, you'll probably learn everything you need to know just by listening to this. But it's a fun hour. If you have free time like we don't, I would say go and watch it. It's a good time.
Yes. So obviously TJ Lavin is their handler as he continues to, you know, put himself in this weird spot. He always calls himself something strange. But he's going to come out and introduce the season and a couple different times throughout this episode, you know, give us these promo kind of shots on, you know, pretty cool scenery. But yeah, we're going to get the Americans coming in first, the international players coming in after. Everybody comes in these cars, you know, in like sets of three. And they obviously deliberately put certain people with each other, like the Corey and Nelson, Amanda and Ashley, Tori and Anissa, the Big Brother group with Fessy, Devin and Devin, Josh and Fessy together. So they did a good job keeping these cars, like, you know, with people that match up well together. So I love this whole intro, Nani and Casey having their own car to themselves, like playing right into exactly what we're seeing, you know, with these two as their, you know, whole thing is playing out. And everybody ends up getting to the house and, you know, we get the whole feel of, look at all these people now at the house, and obviously half the cast is missing. It's like, where is everybody? Yeah. But that's, yeah, that's what's happening.
I feel like this was a good way to start to set up some of the dynamics of this season. I'm sure a lot of these are going to come into play. You know, thank you for giving us some great moments in the cars and also after. But I feel like it's probably a good way to tackle some of these just by going car by car, talking about a few people as they come up. But like you said, Casey and Nani coming in together seemingly on this season.
Yeah, it was, I don't know if I would say like hard to avoid. I don't know that I was necessarily looking to avoid it. Like when they come, when everybody comes back from filming, like I don't sit here and mute them all for the entire rest of the season or anything like that. Like once I know that everybody's home, they all get unmuted and my life goes back to normal. So I had seen a lot of Nani and Casey together, and I feel like it was just impossible. It's been impossible to avoid people talking about that. Like it seems like these two are together right now, like in real life. So as we're getting into the promo and everything for the season, and it's like, oh, these two are very close. Something was going on during filming, and we're seeing this is going to be like a major storyline of the show this season. I kept in my head comparing them, like last season it was the love story of Cam and Leroy, and this season it feels like we're going to see the story of Nani and Casey for however long they're here together, which I imagine will be a while. I mean, I always predict Casey to go a long time, and we know Nani makes it right before the final and sometimes makes it to the final like last season, but not always. So I feel like this is going to be something we're watching for a while this season. They're both well set up, and you know, they're definitely the biggest storyline coming out of these cars segments, about Nani saying, you know, I feel loved by Casey and I'm not afraid of this, and I'm ready to embrace it this time around that I'm spending with her. So this is it. Okay. Here we go.
I said I was feeling positive on everyone. I was going to give them a clean slate, and that's until you compared Nani and Casey to Leroy and Cam. I'm not quite at that level yet.
But you know what I mean. Like just as far as like we're following like one love story of the season. Like sure. Here are the sweethearts of the season. Believe me, I would love to have Cam and Leroy here. I think I tweeted about it like a day ago. But my point stands.
I got you. No, but I like that we allegedly have single Casey here, which we have not had before, I would say, on the challenge, right? I believe, like you've said, social media, it seems that some people were not in agreement on whether or not Casey was single at the time. But as far as the story goes on the challenge, it seems that Casey is single and very open to getting to know Nani here.
And I'm just going to say it right up front, as I already tweeted it as well. I'm here for it. I don't know if that's going to be a popular take. I don't know. I haven't seen much discussion about these two or anything like that. And I don't know why anybody would be like super against, you know, these two as like as far as like a TV couple. Like, I don't know if this is some kind of couple that's going to annoy people because people don't like Casey's, all I'm thinking. But I don't know. They just seem very happy together. The chemistry has been there for, as I said, what, like 2-3 seasons now, that they've definitely been very close on a friendship level, at least it seemed. And if this is just growing into something even more and something closer and something realer, as you know, they've spent more time together over the past couple of years, I think it's a good match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to suddenly start stanning Casey and Nani, but them as a couple gives me more for their storyline on the show than has in previous seasons. They'd always been kind of like a very soft will they, won't they, with no real possibility of it ever actually becoming something on a past season. Whereas now it feels like, oh, we know something is going to happen and we're watching it form. So that's a lot more exciting. I'm excited for Casey to actually have an interesting storyline on the challenge, and for Nani to have another one. Casey better watch out, because I know Nani is usually the kiss of death on many of these challenges, though.
Yeah, there was a segment, I guess, I think it was in the first, the actual episode one, where Nani was talking to Gabo, and he was just like, oh, like, I just picked you, you know, the whole thing where he picks her just because she's a pretty girl, pretty face, whatever he was saying. And I was like, in any other season, you know, the past couple seasons, Nani's been, you know, planting her kiss of death at the beginning of the season and going about her way, and that person goes home first. So I was like, Gabo, you're lucky here that she's got her eye on somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know if Gabo considers himself lucky, but
I should tell, he should know that he is lucky, that things are working out the way they are.
I don't know if Gabo's here for the competition. Seems like Gabo is ready to hook up and leave pretty soon.
Whatever.
We'll just bring it up while we bring up Gabo. Actually, we'll talk about more of the newbies later who's standing out, but so I would say fun personality to tease. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, also fun in the car. I mean, all these segments were pretty good in the car. You had Corey talking about, like, why is CT still here? He keeps beating me. Like, why? You get Amanda and Ashley back together, which just, I cannot tell you. I mean, how many times am I going to say this, even just up to this point? But I am so happy that Amanda is back on my TV. I probably could not stand harder, you know, if I tried, for both Amanda and Ashley. So seeing them back together is so great. And then, you know, the Devin and Big Brother group, you know, that little segment was great as well. So all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amanda's someone I thought we lost. I thought we were never getting Amanda back. She's so instantly charismatic. Like, there's just like, in the, again, 1.5 episodes, whatever you want to call them, there's like multiple quotable moments from Amanda already. So we've gotten the money's worth. I'm glad she's back. I'm excited to see what she can do on this season, and especially that she's here with Ashley. I think huge bonus. Very excited.
Mm-hmm. Leading into a big topic that we're going to have to talk about, or not have to, I don't know why I say it like that, that we're going to be talking about, you know, throughout this, I guess, entire podcast and maybe even going into the next coming weeks. We see a link up here at the house in the special, Ashley Mitchell and Michelle Fitzgerald. My heart goes aflutter, as I'm sure did yours and many of other of our friends and fellow challenge watchers. Ashley and Michelle linking up. It was just a great conversation. They seem to be getting along great. We also saw Nani and Ashley later talking about how we think Michelle's great. She's definitely smart. We got to keep an eye out on her. But the big topic here that's going to lead into from this episode into the next one is the idea of a Survivor alliance and how threatening that could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting because from the perspective we get in this, you know, zero episode, it's Michelle, Tommy, and Michaela. They're coming in the car and they're all ready to work together. And Michaela's not so sure. She's thinking, obviously, they're closer than I am with them. And if I have to separate, I am going to do so. Ultimately, seems to be the other way around is where we end up. But I was excited for 2 out of 3 of these people and for them to have another ally in this house. I feel like it is good that Survivor is starting to make its way on the show. I think that here's some people that people really were clamoring for, finally getting to make their debut, even if it was short-lived. Hopefully they come back. But so far, excited about the Survivor prospects on the challenge.
Yeah, I feel like the energy that that we expected was going to be given towards the Big Brother Alliance, which, you know, they all have confessionals. What's the Big Brother Alliance? I don't know what you're talking about. Of course the Big Brother Alliance is back, and it's always going to be here. like all of the energy that I thought that that was going to be towards targeting the Big Brother Alliance this season because of how much was going on with them last season, that energy seems to all be going towards this Survivor Alliance of like, we know how strong a bond can be from people that were on the same show and relatively know each other. I mean, Tommy and Michelle seem to, you know, more than Michaela did, obviously, as we saw with everything there. But again, that all, I feel like that energy is all going towards the Survivor Alliance. The Big Brother Alliance is now, you know, pretty much merged in with the vets. And that's the other storyline that we're going to be seeing that we're going to see playing into everything in these two episodes. You know, we the vets want a vet to win, and it seems like they are every single one of them on the same page that they need to stick together, and that feels significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because especially once we get the international agents in this house, people talk about how there's 8 Survivor players, and that's so many. I don't know that like Survivor Spain and Survivor US is going to share this great bond that is going to be impenetrable. It's not like Gabby was included on the Big Brother Alliance last year just because she was on Celebrity Big Brother UK. And, you know, Lolo was pretty much on the outside of that BB Alliance. So I would say, if not for the overwhelming number of newbies, I think probably this energy would stay towards the Big Brother Alliance. Mm-hmm. But since there's so many newbies and all of the Survivor players are newbies, it's a lot easier to focus it there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And, you know, they talked about it, you know, with everything that happened at the reunion and CT and Corey and whoever was like organizing all of this, and it kind of just led its way into the season itself. And it just seems like that, at least at the beginning part of the season, they are planning on all sticking together. Nani's like, you know, if an alumni doesn't win this season, like somebody went wrong somewhere. So, it does seem like they're all on the same page, and that's that. Just a couple of like personal segments here. We had Amanda talking about how she's back, after, you know, she had her child and she was, you know, was working as a nurse during the pandemic. We had a little bit from Corey L talking about how he wants to represent his community. He wants to represent, gay black people and show, you know, show just a lot that, you know, we can do it and all this kind of stuff. You know, another personal segment, Tori, you know, takes the time to let us know that, yes, I did, you know, with Fessy.
She's not that shy about it. You were saying it.
We went from like, oh, a nurse in the pandemic, oh, I want to represent for people like me, oh, Tori, you okay.
Yeah, Tori drops the hard f-bomb about what she did with Fessy and Turks and Caicos, which I feel like everyone knew it, so whatever. Yeah. But it definitely was an interesting segment. Again, this I found Tori like likable and funny here, where I think some people came away with like, oh, Tori's being a mean girl, where I was like, Tori's being honest. Like, she is not putting up an act. She is saying how she feels, and that is what I appreciate. I don't need Tori the nice girl. I need to know how Tori actually feels.
Mm-hmm. I don't know when we're going to get into much of Tori. I guess we'll kind of talk about her later in like the voting and all that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. She obviously comes up there, but I'm very curious to see if over the course of this season she embraces the, I don't know if it's villain or just like the more villainous kind of role that I feel like the fans have started to see her in. And I don't know if she'll ever embrace it or if she will lean into it at all. I feel like she's trying to push it as far away from herself as possible. So I don't know. That's just something I'm keeping my eye on.
Mm-hmm. Which, learn from Ashley. You become the villain and will stand. Then you become the hero. Like, that's the move.
Right. The whole like Tori thing that where she just continued, it seems like she's going with this route of like continuing to be like, I am not a bad person. Like, I don't know why, like at least, you know, own up to it. Be like, yeah, no, I say bad things about the rookies because they all suck and I'm going to beat them all. Like, tell us that. You don't, I don't care what you say to them. Like, if you want to fix your game up by being nicer to the rookies than you have in the past couple seasons, that's probably a good idea. But tell me what you're thinking. Like, if you really don't care about the vets or the rookies or whatever, be honest about it like that, whatever. I don't know. We don't have to get too much into Tori here, but
yeah, I feel like we haven't touched on enough the current status of Ashley and Nelson's relationship.
Yeah, well, there's definitely going to be a lot of that.
It gets established in this little bit, and I'm too impatient to wait to talk about it, to be honest.
Lead us anywhere your heart desires, and if that is following Ashley and Nelson, that is somewhere I will go with you.
So I guess we'll talk about more of the hookups later, and I'm sure this will come up again, but Ashley and Nelson are friends with benefits now, and that's a storyline that we have on this season.
Mm-hmm. We're getting, you know, a little bit about like the people that are like eyeing each other, and obviously in the first episode that we do get to see a couple of them are going to act on it. But yeah, Nelson and Ashley, it's so strange. I mean, maybe it's not strange, it's just like we don't see much of them. Ashley goes out first so often these days, and obviously these two have been on seasons together for a while. I you know, they've had this kind of part of their friendship before, but I don't know.
It's so funny because the last time we saw Ashley and Nelson was on the Double Agents reunion. It might have been, I don't remember if it was part one or part two, but Ashley is like, I'm your friend and you never trust me. Like, were they already hooking up at this point regularly? Because that adds a whole nother layer to that conversation where it's like, I am literally hooking up with you constantly and you're still talking about me like I'm such a snake and untrustworthy. Like, this is a problem.
Yeah, and between like all of that happening and then, you know, the Fessy and Nelson stuff from last season that's, you know, causing drama. And now you have, you know, Ashley's best friend, Amanda, who's got her eye on Fessy, and Corey's in the middle of this. You know, obviously, Corey's not hooking up with anybody. He's got, you know, family back at home. But this whole like mess here, I'm like, Amanda, Ashley, focus, please. Like, I mean, do your thing, but please, please pay attention to the game, please.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what Fessy and Nelson do.
I don't know how much you have left. I think one of the last things I have is that I don't know how much it brought up during the season, but thought it was cool that they showed for Fessy, this is the first season that he's filming during Ramadan. So he has that to contend with, where he has to fast from sunrise till sunset. Mm-hmm. Seems like quite the obstacle on a challenge season. So I'm curious to see if that gets talked about more or how that affects him.
Yeah. I think they, where was it? When you consume like 100 hours of content of the challenge in a week, it's, you know, the after show I did watch and I listened to the Torian and Issa podcast, somebody somewhere was saying that like Fessy was trying to, you know, come into the season with a bit of a different, you know, calmer approach than he did last season, where he was like, you know, the big cocky guy who the edit like had their way with. So I do see him trying to be a little bit calmer this season, and the way that he comes in here talking about that, you know, he's trying to focus on more important things in life. I'll take it. I mean, I don't need to be, you know, rooting against Fessy forever. You know, if he can kind of play a calmer game and, you know, have a little bit more self-awareness, and we get to see the side of him. This is the kind of thing that like back in his first challenge season that he was talking about, you know, how, you know, and just going along with representation in general, he didn't see much of himself, you know, out there earlier, and he's, you know, looking forward to changing that. So if we can take a step back with Fessy and not have it just be Fessy that, you know, is this cocky guy who thinks that he can run over the whole field, I'm not against him being here. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed Fessy the villain. I'll enjoy Fessy when he's a douche, but I'll also enjoy just like funny Fessy, which I feel like we got a little bit of, especially in his dynamic with Amanda that we'll talk about later. So I feel like so far a good premiere for Fessy.
Yeah. So TJ ends up telling the Americans to go get in uniform, get ready for their first challenge. And while they are doing that, the global agents all arrive, all in the same kind of way. Everybody, you know, three in a car kind of thing. Any highlights for you from these entrances?
Well, let's start with people that we know first, I would say. I feel like the most veteran and biggest story out of here is Kyle's going to be a dad when he's filming this season.
Yeah, when TJ announces the prize later on, he's like, it's, you know, $1 million prize, as it has been lately. He's like, I need that money. I just got my girlfriend pregnant. It's like, yeah, that's going to be a great time, Kyle.
Oh, Kyle. He's still ever the personality. I love that once they actually meet up, Kyle's like, we're the rookies and we have to take over this house, and like we're the international agents and we're screw all the US people. And then as soon as he gets in there, he's like, screw those rookies, we have to work together as the vets. Like, he has no loyalty. You know, within half an episode he's already flip-flopped. So same old Kyle is back, tons of fun, and I'm interested to see soon to be dad Kyle on this season.
Yeah, it's a wild journey for Kyle since we first met him 8 consecutive seasons ago. Also, you know, of course, notably back here is our girl Big T, who I am taking a deep breath to not let out all my jealousy towards our friends who have recently met Big T in person. I'm very happy for them. I promise I'm very happy for them.
Yeah. Reevaluating the word friends, going to FaceTime. Right? But yeah.
The service was so bad in there.
Oh, I heard the excuse.
Big T, Logan, and Bettina come together. Big T has a big crush on Logan, and this segment just gives us Bettina's laugh, which I'm sure we'll hear that once or twice. And
it's iconic.
it's something.
I like it a lot. I feel like we get almost nothing else from Bettina. She is definitely a personality on this season, but I don't feel like we know a ton about her. But this laugh enough was made, like, it made me sign off, like, all right, I approve of the casting. This was good.
Mm-hmm. The Emmy, Priscilla, and Emmanuel Carr was good because, I mean, we'll talk about her, but we get to meet Emmy, who is just, you know, the star of this of both of these episodes. More to come on Emmy. Priscilla, you know, pretty quiet, but I did like her line about, you know, I come from a love show, and these people are like playing 100 Days on Survivor, and then Emmanuel, who is already breaking out the dance moves in the car, and I still like Emmanuel.
Yeah, standing Emmanuel already, but like I'm doing it. Sorry, guys, it's happening. In terms of Priscilla, yeah, she's quieter. I did really question why she was here, having watched her Love Island season. But so far, for someone who didn't have a ton of storyline through these episodes, and I don't think we'll end up talking about her again outside of who ended up being her partner, she got like 6 confessionals, so I think they're leaning on her as kind of a narrator, which I think is a good, fun choice. Like, she handles it well. I think she got 6, which was tied for the most in the episode. Yeah, so pretty solid. I think that she's interesting. I liked Emmanuel saying that we might know Romania because of Vlad the Impaler. Like, yeah, only reason we would know that. Thanks, Emmanuel. Still standing, but questioned there. And Emmy immediately ratting out Emmanuel for being a strategist.
I can't lie to you guys and say that I understood much of what Emmy was saying, but I loved the energy behind it all.
She's just like, oh, I was just missed the finals, but him, he's a threat. Look at him. I'm like, don't, he's your friend on this show. Don't rat him out already.
I think a lot of the time I was too busy watching her talk and act and move about that, you know, the diary room of the challenge, than I was actually listening to the words that she was saying. I feel like if you gave me a dialogue and showed me like the words she said in her confessionals, I'd be reading it for the first time.
So we'll get to what she does in these episodes, but overall with Emmy, I want to know your thoughts. How do you feel about Emmy 1.5 episodes into the season?
I mean, 100% here for her. It's just something so new and so like, where did they find this person? And why didn't they find her sooner? Is just overall where I'm feeling.
100% same. Like, I know that people are mad at her for what she did, and like I am too, but also she's a total Looney Tune. She's so funny. She's nonstop entertainment. I am very excited she's on this season. Might also be standing despite making some bad decisions. But Emmy is a full character. I'm very excited about the prospects of her, not just on this season, but on the next one that she's on, because guaranteed she can go home next episode. She's getting a call.
Yeah, she is. She is definitely going to provide some entertainment no matter how long she's here for. So looking forward to Emmy. We get the car with Kels, Esther, and Tasha. Tasha. Right? Yeah. Not a whole lot. We just, you know, see that these two, the girls here in the car are, you know, have some chemistry, or not chemistry. History is the word. No, that was the earlier car. Some history is the word I was looking for. So we'll see how things play out with those two. But yeah, they all move into the house. And
I would say that we got a lot more from Esther this episode. I thought she was a ton of fun talking about what it meant to like get on TV in America and like how she was like so proud to be here. What I will say for Tasha is the comment section of the challenge social media is generally something I will stay out of because spoilers abound. They're everywhere. But even like my friends who are casual fans of the show are like, is Tacho a celebrity? Because the biggest fan base of probably anyone on the show, similar to Turbo when he first came on, she is just like absolutely blown up. And every comment section is like, stan Tacho, stan Tacho, she's the queen. I'm like, I agree, she is. But like, I'm excited to see what her fan base already knows of her.
To me, it just kind of reminds me of like if Devon went to go jump on like Big Brother, I don't know, insert random country, and yeah, all of us went to go watch that show and use the hashtag, and we were all, you know, out here being like, you know, Devon Slay, Devon Nation, all that kind of stuff. I feel like, you know, it's kind of something similar, but maybe even bigger.
I think it's bigger. Yeah, like Devon has been on the challenge, and these were not the comment seasons when Devon was on the challenge.
Right. Yeah. No, it's definitely been, you know, something noticeable over social media. And, you know, I don't know. This episode was, I guess, just overall thought about this episode. I feel like we got a whole lot of, you know, general things setting up for the season. And then obviously a lot with Michaela and Michelle of it all. But there are so many people still in this cast that, you know, there's more to tell. So I imagine we'll get plenty more from both of these two.
Yeah, definitely think that these two are going to have a storyline with each other, storyline with their other cast members. I like that. Was it Esther who ran in immediately and picked Corey? I'm trying to look through the teams.
Esther's not with Corey.
No, Bettina's with Corey. Yeah. I don't know. But I thought, oh, Esther came in and picked Fessy. I mixed Corey and Fessy up. But so I liked her energy all the way through. I think that they seem like a ton of fun.
I need to ask you the question that everybody is wondering. Are there any of your friends where if you showed up and found, you know, their underwear on the floor that you could pick it up, smell it, and you would know it's theirs?
You know, unfortunately, maybe. Okay. yeah, I'll leave it at that. But yeah, I don't think that I would go ahead and test that theory, but apparently Kyle feels like that's the right decision.
I don't know how I reacted other than just, I'm pretty sure that, you know, like the emoji with like the two eyes wide open is kind of what I think my face looked like when I saw Kyle pick up Devin's underwear, smell them and say, oh yeah, no, Devin's been here. Okay. moving swiftly along from that. I don't know. The alarm goes off. TJ announces what the challenge is. And, you know, all of the international players are like, what's going on? Because there's like three veterans amongst the group, obviously Nam being there as well, who we don't get a whole lot from. But, you know, and we'll get into more of not getting into Nam. But the fun part here is, of course, Gabo not having any idea who TJ is, calling him the stranger on the TV. And then they all look through these big giant cards from each of the veterans, which I assume they stole from your house for all the drafts that we do. I assume those were yours.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what's going on here.
You know, they could pay me for them. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. But I let Gabo asking if this was the New Jersey Shore cast. A little quote machine out of that guy. But fun. I do find it. They all like look through and talk about who they want. Most of these are kind of throwaways or setting us up for who they're going to end up with. Thought it was interesting when Kyle was like, I know these people, so let me coach you, and telling Huey that the best pick was Ashley, which ultimately we do see Huey pick Ashley. And so was Kyle intending to pick Ashley, or was he steering him away from who he actually wanted?
I think Kyle wanted, well, I don't know. No, actually, no. I know who Kyle wanted because Amanda said the Devin. What's that called now? Yep. The aftermath.
The aftermath.
Amanda made a comment about how Kyle wanted Michaela, and as they all ran down in the first challenge to go find their partners, Amanda was screaming to Kyle, "Oh, the Survivor people got dropped! Come, just let's do this!" And pretty much, you know, manipulated Kyle into being partners.
Yeah, Kyle's running in, apparently yelling, Survivor girls! Survivor girls!
just incredibly iconic behavior.
And honestly, I agree. Like, yes, I would also be yelling from Michelle and Michaela, so understandable. But supposedly also ran straight up to Nani and was like, hell, no way am I picking
not,
you
not again. No
not
way.
Not a chance in hell am I picking you.
Which is what
you.
I'm saying. Like, it feels like we're just on Double Agents 2.0 or like 1.4 whatever. It's just the fact that like it just feels like this just happened, but whatever. Probably the right call there, not doing this back to back with Nani when like there's other ways that you can play the game. Obviously that wasn't like the most effective for them to last time around, so yeah. No surprise there.
probably heard about her finals performance, so I think maybe taking the shot on Amanda is the move here.
Yeah. I liked Big T talking about how she's going to be obviously working with the rookies again, which seemed to be her go-to move last season. I don't know, not to, you know, make the Wes comparisons, but it did work for Wes when it worked well for Wes, and weren't they, you know...
How often did it work well for Wes?
When it worked is exactly what I said.
When was that?
When it has worked for Wes, it has worked for Wes.
Fair.
Not all the way to the end and whatnot, but there are, I mean, that's been Wes's strategy since his first season. He did, you know, he has won, what, twice now? Over, you know, it's been a long time, but it's just something that he's always done. And
who did he win with?
CT.
Yep.
Is he a one-time or two-time winner?
I could not tell you off the top of my head, to be honest.
I feel like it's two, but yeah, I know he won with CT. I'm pretty sure.
If I had to bet, I could look that up. I mean, he did successfully do it on War of the Worlds 1, I would argue. He pretty successfully worked.
Yeah.
So I would say that is true. He also won by himself on the duel, so that is his second win.
Yeah.
But do enjoy Big T saying that she's going to work with the rookies. I believe it a little more than I believe Kyle was going to do so. Mm-hmm. Kyle might try to, but, you know, Big T and Kyle also do have a pretty good relationship. So we shall see where that goes. I'm here for, what is it, the itty bitty committee again this season?
My last comment on the this episode here before we get into episode one is just that in the preview for, you know, what's to come, which was at the end of both episodes, that do you skip past that or were you watching
it? Yeah, I don't watch trailers.
OK, well, I don't think this is a surprise to you, so I'm saying it anyway. They showed Amber B in it, which I was like, she's not there yet.
Yeah, they very much have not been hiding that. Her cast photos are already released. I do know what happens there. We can talk later in the episode, or just probably, I'm assuming, the next one.
I have a very strong theory about what happens there.
Maybe I'll let you propose the theory at the end of this, so tease that.
Okay, but I'm not 100% positive if my theory is based on something that maybe I read. Like, I don't remember if I read it or if I'm, like, subconsciously thinking about it. I don't know. Maybe it's best to just, like, hold off on it until, like, when she enters, which I do feel like we knew that, like, she was going to be on the cast, like, early into the filming and all this stuff. Also, we have to talk about the whole production shutdown. I don't think they addressed it or planning on, because I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% positive. Please, anybody out there, correct me, or you correct me if you know any better. I think that the shutdown was before they had gotten to any kind of eliminations yet.
We'll talk about that at the end.
Okay. Well, I don't know. So I'm just, because I've, excuse me. I feel like I was pretty sure that they were going to have to address it because it was such a big thing that happened. But this whole episode one went right by and we got to an elimination. And I'm like, wait, nothing happened. Nam is gone. Did Nam COVID? I don't know. I don't know. So
I don't believe so. Well, with the birthday, I don't think that Nam was in any of those scenes. Great Twitter detective Mel Got Served, who has talked with us about the Challenge All-Stars, did point out that the date of the shutdown for filming, I believe, is before Michelle's birthday. So it seems like that was after the shutdown.
Yeah.
Was the birthday party. So by that point, they had already gone through the quarantine again. Stuff may or may not have been cut out of the show, but it seems like Nam had a scheduling conflict once the dates needed to be extended for filming the season.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, take that for what you will, but allegedly that is the story.
Okay, well, either way, I do feel like they are not addressing it, filming shutdown, which I, like I said, I did feel like they were going to have to, because in my head, the way that it played out, you know, completely knowing nothing about their actual filming schedule, just pretending that I do, I thought that maybe, you know, it was going to be a big role in whatever, but they just scooted right on past it, I think. And now here we are in episode one. Let's get to it. We are going to jump right in to seeing this first challenge here, where the global agents are going to be released from the starting gate to go pick their partners. They grab a sledgehammer, grab a key, and away we go with the partner selections.
Yeah, two-time champ. Anybody want a two-time champ? Like, she's the Cracker Jack man at the baseball game. Like, all right, Ashley, doing a great job of selling herself there, but it ends up falling towards the back of the pack. I feel like there's, you know, some fun lines, but ultimately this comes down to us finding out the partner selection, and we can go through who's partners with who, as well as any surprising picks, and if this was the actual order that they were picked that we were shown.
So I don't know. Well, start us off here then. Where?
So first of all, I don't know about surprising picks. Just to set up who some of the partners are. There is Emmanuel picks Casey right at the beginning, and Kels picks Tori. I don't think either of those are super surprising. I feel like probably top two off the board is what you would assume, especially considering who the like international versus American split. So I think that's pretty, you know, predictable there.
Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking about the timeline of it all, because for some reason in my head, I was like, okay, wait, so like maybe the shutdown was like after the Americans got there and the international people got there after. And then I was like, did it happen before the first challenge? No, that doesn't make any sense because they got their partners first and Nam was there. Sorry, I'm still working this out live on air, but it's okay. So Michelle and Nam are a duo, as just mentioned, Anissa and Logan. We had Huey and Ashley, which was, of course, giving Ashley some great one-liners. Apparently, like, Huey is like, oh, so where are you from? How you doing? What's going on? What's anything interesting happening over the past couple weeks? You know, get anything good in your quarantine to eat? Ashley's like, can we do this challenge here?
Yeah, so asking me where I'm from your nightmares. Like, great line. Maybe she borrowed that one from Amanda. I feel like that is a little more of her brand.
Yeah,
but it's great. I'm not the biggest Huey fan, but you know what, hoping for a little better for Ashley, but I think appropriately picked in terms of the lineup here.
Mm-hmm. So Bettina and Corey, Bettina wanted Corey. She got him. Priscilla found Nelson. Gabo got Nani, who, as we already talked about, he was just like, I just saw, you know, a pretty face and that's where I went. Renan and Michaela, Emmy and Corey Lay, CT and Berna, Esther and Fessy, Tracy and Devin, Big Tommy and Jeremiah and Tasha.
Yeah, I did like Emmy going up to Corey, picking Corey Lay and saying that she is not a drama queen, but she loves drama queens. Like, you're a drama queen. Like, you very much are a drama queen. Don't lie.
She's just iconic. And, you know, I hope everybody's on board. I'm not ready to, you know, to drop the S word, the four letter S word yet, but we could get there at some point. So,
I am, and I'll take it back if I need to.
All right, fine. So this challenge, you know, they have to, you know, memorize some color coded stuff. And of course, you know, the more experienced players notice that right off the bat, which eventually leads to Anissa and Logan getting the win. They had that safe that they had to get the code for, which, you know, would lock them out for 5 minutes if they got it wrong. And who was surprised that Nelson was not able to get it? And, you know, was the one being shown as like the most frustrated. But yeah, I mean, as far as like results go here, Anissa getting these back-to-back season starting wins, good for her. I don't understand how you keep getting Anissa on your draft team, and benefiting from these points, but this is the world that we live in. And, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Happy for her. I feel like, Anissa is not known for picking up a ton of daily wins. And so, you know what? I'll give her these season openers. I'm happy. I don't feel like we know a ton about Logan, but what we do so far, I like him. I like that he is a supportive partner of Anissa when he's not saying that she's like a grandma. So, you know, some fun moments between the two of them.
It's just as far as the, you know, the fact that the two of them won, the second place team here being Renan and Michaela, like, what a different first episode we would have had if they had been, you know, a couple of seconds, minutes faster, and ended up winning. Because when we go back to the house and we see them talking about, you know, the rookies should stick together and, you know, we got to target vets. Like, if we had, you know, lost two vets right off the beginning here, and I would have been terrified for it to be the person who's always going into these early eliminations. I don't know. It's just, you know, the fact that these two came in second and ended up being the team that's going to go home in this episode is, you know, worth noting.
Yeah, oh, I liked Renan being like, well, I hope since we came in second, no one will really like put a target on us.
I know. I was like, what is he saying?
I feel like really the opposite of what you're thinking there, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was on the aftermath, right, that they were like, this boy was not made for this show. He was looking for the love show, took a wrong turn, ended up on the challenge. So hopefully Michaela does get her second shot someday and has either a better partner or just doesn't have one at all, you know?
Yeah, he is, you know, a pretty face, a fine personality, but I don't think that he was ever going to be one of the big names that we were looking for. So I was not happy about him going first in particular, but we'll touch on that more. Ultimately not devastated either.
Yeah, I feel like they tried to be like, oh, look, he's interesting, he's a sex counselor. I was like, yeah, the last sex counselor that I watched on TV was somebody that used to stand and then made me mad in the season finale of a season that was supposed to be a really good show and season of Survivor, and I'm out on the reality TV sex counselors.
You know what? That's fair. I am also out. What a good stance to take.
So sorry, Renan. That's just where we're at. But as far as the challenge goes, I mean, of course, Ashley and Huey had the segment here where Ashley, and I mean, this goes into TJ trying to pull the fast one on her after they ended up getting last place. She's starting to freak out. And like, I hated to watch this because like the meltdown that she's having, and then the anxiety that you see her having of like, I'm not doing this again. This is not happening again. I'm not going home first again, being purged out, even though he has no idea what a purge means, this guy, Huey. And then, you know, when TJ tries to be like, you are done, and like that commercial break, I'm like, thank God I can fast forward right now because my heart is like in the pit of my stomach.
I didn't believe it at all, to be blunt, but yeah, was not thrilled. I was feeling for her. He was complaining just as much. So I understand where she was coming from, being that nervous about it and that upset, but ultimately did not fall for it because I think maybe it was just me being in denial partially as well, because I would not allow that outcome to be accepted. But yeah.
Man, it was just, I mean, I think I was mostly in the same page as what you just said, like kind of didn't fully think that it was going to happen. Because I feel like they would have said at the beginning of the challenge, you know, like last team is going to be out or whatever. And then, you know, Ashley started screaming like, that's not fair. That's not right. Like, fuck that, kind of whatever she was saying. And I was just like, just TJ, just say psych, just turn it around. And this isn't funny. So I'm glad he did, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, there's no one that I would have wanted to lose in a purge. So happy they don't do that, especially on the first episode. Would have been super lame, especially after putting these people through not one, but now two quarantines. Definitely don't do that. That's a bad idea, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Logan and Anissa will form, this season we're calling it the agency. Last season they were just the double agents, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
which they should have just been again.
This season they are the agency, which is the same format. So we think for now that, you know, they're going to vote in a team and then, the house will vote in a team. We'll get to more on that later, but, yeah, those are our winners. And then we go back to the house.
Mm-hmm, where we get Michaela and the sex therapist Renan talking about how the rookies need to stick together and they're gonna send those vets home. They won't have the targets on their backs, and this feels like some negative foreshadowing for these two.
Yeah, and even if it did feel like that while you were watching it, I just wouldn't have, like, I wasn't letting myself like go there, because I was like, loving to see Michaela. And like, I don't know, I guess I didn't even like fully process the fact that like Michaela was like gonna be there, and I think I may have forgotten over time like how much I enjoy Michaela on my TV. So like seeing her and seeing her in her confessionals, like just this whole episode, I was like, you know, very happy to see her. And then like as it was just getting looking worse and worse and worse and worse over the episode, and then like even getting to the deliberation where she is like fighting for her life and people are just like coming for her saying like, no, you played messy, you did this, the list and all of this stuff, like it was just so hard to watch. Like, mm-hmm. I was so uncomfortable. Just because I hated seeing her in that position.
Yeah, I think ultimately where it's being highlighted so much about this vet alliance, we need a vet alliance. And then I just look at the board and there's only so many teams where both members are rookies. Kind of felt like their number was going to be called sooner or later, unfortunately. Thought Michaela, especially if this was individual eliminations like last season, who are they putting up against her that's really going to take her out so easily? So felt pretty good about her prospects, but still this scene was cause for worry.
Right. So a couple of the other teams are going to kind of start meeting each other. We had, you know, Nani and Gabo talking about just again why they ended up being together. It was a very funny line from Gabo talking about his popcorn muscles. I've never heard a single guy on reality TV refer to his own appearance, physique as having popcorn muscles. Like it was something.
Okay, I love Gabo. Like, he's like, why'd you pick me? He's like, because you're hot. I'm like, okay.
Like, what did you think of our good friend Haley Strong's take as she is watching the episode like an hour ago saying she doesn't like him?
Haley, no. Gabo's a hot dummy. Like, it's the brand. We are in support of Gabo. I don't know. I wouldn't say that he is, you know, not throwing the Stan card out there. That's not happening. But he, for me right now, he's in like the top five newbies of the people that I did not know, I would say. I'm enjoying him a lot. And I'm excited to see him go further on this season, hopefully. Just like him being realistic, self-deprecating, however like many adjectives you want to throw at him, just being able to say that, like, oh, I look great, but I have popcorn muscles. I'm not strong at all. I'm gonna do terribly. Just very funny, because every other guy in here has such an ego and like, how dare you ever question them. Yeah. And Gabo's just like freely roasting himself. Just, he's here for the party.
Like, fully the opposite of anything that, like, Fessy has ever said in any, you know, like, in his entire tenure on reality television. It was great. So that was fun. Tori and Kells, you know, a little bit of talking about, you know, the two of them being together. You know, she's out here, you know, speaking to God about how he's, you know, fucking with her because now she has a hot partner and she was trying to avoid the guys this season, which, I mean, Tori, how do you expect that that's going to be the case? Like, you're young and single and like there's hot people surrounding you in the house. Like, I would never think that like going into a season of a reality show that I'd be like, oh, I'm going to be so focused. I don't know, whatever. It just doesn't seem realistic.
See, would always say that for any reality show, especially The Challenge back in the day. But if I look at the past couple seasons, I'm like, no one hooked up, no one did anything. So maybe Tori wouldn't be that inaccurate in her assumption that she wouldn't be as tempted. Because whether it was just on the show or what was happening in actuality, like barely any hookups on the past couple seasons. So Tori did not feel that she was going to be so tempted, especially by her partner immediately.
And then the other team checking in here is CT and Berna, which really not a whole lot from CT in this first episode, or, you know, the first one we got him talking about. I think it's like he's gotten this like three seasons in a row, just setting up like where he is coming into the season. I have the dad bod. I don't have the dad bod. I don't have the dad bod anymore. Now I'm in shape. I just won the challenge. So here I am. And he's partnered with Berna, who was in the circus, and I don't know what to do with this yet, but I'm sure we'll get more with it.
Yeah, I liked their initial meeting where CT is hiding behind the cinder blocks. She's like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I'm scared. So like a funny dynamic. She's like, am I allowed to pick you? He's like, I guess so.
Like, really weird.
So I'm enjoying them so far. I don't feel like we got enough of Berna to be like fully in. But, you know, that Survivor Turkey connection, it's going to, you know, send a little positive vibes from Turbo her way. Yeah. But also, yeah, good fun dynamic between the two of them so far.
And yeah, I mean, as we're going to get into, as we've already talked on a little bit, but we do have a scene with Ashley, Amanda, Devin, and Josh talking about, you know, we are staying together. Like, there's no way around this. We get a confessional from like Kyle and Nani and Corey and everybody, you know, saying these rookies are coming in here. They want to make a name for themselves. They want to, you know, they want to take us out. They want to make this their game, but we have to stick together because we keep not sticking together and it benefits none of us. CT won last season. What did the rest of us get? Nothing. So we're doing this. We have to.
Yeah. And I think that even though there are so few vets that are continuously coming back these days, a lot of them are very interconnected by this point. Whether you have like Corey and TYB, so Corey and Nelson, but then Corey's really close with Ashley from their original season, and Nelson's really close with Amanda, and Amanda and Ashley are really close, and then like Devin is now in with the Big Brother Alliance, who's close with Corey. So like it's all intermingled. It's setting up like the perfect storm. There's a few inner fights in there, but for this vet alliance that personally I might be rooting against a little bit, but seems like does have some wheels ready to go.
Yeah. So we get into the night out here for Michelle and Logan's birthday, which, as you mentioned, may have been some weird different timeline. Who knows?
Post second lockdown.
Yeah, who knows what's going on here? And I don't know what's happening here besides some Devin Walker OnlyFans promo, which I say that as a joke, but it's not a joke because he was genuinely posting OnlyFans promo on his story last night saying, like, if you like this, then, you know, I have a deal going on OnlyFans right now that, you know, you should sign up for. So, you know, fully intended to make that joke when I saw him in the Speedo for this birthday party. And then it wasn't a joke anymore after I saw it online. So that's just the world that we live in now. And if you want to sign up for Devin Walker's OnlyFans, you can check out the link in his bio and he's got a deal going on.
Yeah, surprised that the handle was not, like, pasted on his ass, honestly.
Mm-hmm. He does have a I did see he has a new Instagram out with Devin t-shirts. Are you going to buy one?
You know, maybe for you.
Now I have to open it up and find these shirts because I want to see what they said. La 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 la. Here are the shirts. The handle is at Wear Devin Walker, and he has 9 shirts currently up. Seltzer University. What is that? Be the change you want to see in the world. Seltzer University, established 2019. I don't know what that
maybe
is.
Maybe I do want a Devin shirt.
There's a Spritzer Sister, dedicated to the wine loving ladies of reality TV. In a couple different colors. There's a shirt that says I'm an introvert for the extrovert in your life.
So Devin just has a Teespring store is what you're saying.
Yes. There's a maroon shirt here that says what's 8 times 9. There's one that is apparently let's go in Japanese, he says.
Okay.
Nam also gave him some promo on Nam story. Sorry.
I'm not even seeing how many of these are related to Devin. I think it's just a little side hustle that is going on, apparently. Mm-hmm. My question would be, could you smell the shirts and tell that it's a Devin shirt? That would be really a decision maker.
It's just like, this is like so embarrassing just when you like compare it to like the banana shop. Like Bananas has like a whole like, you know, and not to say that like Devin's trying to be Bananas, but like,
media
like, okay. Bananas has like a page for his traveling. He has like a page for his, he has a shop. If you go to Real Johnny Bananas on Instagram, there, like the links, my links say follow message because I do not follow him. the one above it for me is view shop, and you can get the Bananas mineral wash hoodie for $70. You can get the Bananas vintage sky blue shirt or hoodie, all very expensive items, that you will go to either him or Morgan's Instagram pages and you will find them modeling all of these items. Is this an ad? Because I feel like I should get paid for this.
I feel like kind of. I don't know if it was a tweet or what it was where it was talking about like if you charge between like 16 to 19 for your t-shirt merch, like you're selling merch. If you charge between 20 to 25, now you're a t-shirt store. And if you charge more than 25 to 70, you're just ripping off people. Mm-hmm. So I think those could be applied here.
None of this is new that, you know, when these people are on the seasons, they create their own content on the side and, you know, go for that extra cash in between seasons. And like, I can't put any kind of like, you know, judgment on that. Like, this is how they make their money. That's fine. But it's still something I'm going to talk about. So it's funny.
I need to see if I can find it. Did you see that someone is selling some items on eBay?
You did see that? Or are you saying if I see
I said, did you see?
No.
One, Fessy is selling quite a few items on eBay, and I am trying to find the link. So that is going to take a moment.
What is he selling?
Fessy is selling, off the top of my head, there is some good items, you know, like there is a challenge fanny pack that's only like $30, or a challenge water bottle.
So he's literally, you know, they send all the cast members like a care package at the beginning of the season. He's selling all that.
Yes, and more. Fessy is also selling like game worn items, the things that he wore during the season, and things that he wore in his recent Big Brother boxing match, including his jock strap. So that's Fessy.
Okay. I don't know where to go with that.
And his helmet. A very expensive, I believe it was like literally $1,000 for the opening bid. So if someone wants Fessy's double agent's helmet, that is out there. I'm sure his link is on his Twitter or something.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of comment on the Big Brother boxing. I feel like it was covered well enough. And, you know, obviously some of these challengers, former Big Brothers that were out there. So, yeah, if you want any, you know, additional coverage on that, make sure you check out, you know, Chappelle and Jacob and Rob and all them talking about it on the slop. That was, you know, a lot happening there.
They performed as expected, and I would say, for Casey, Fessy, and Josh.
And I really just don't want to keep talking about how all of our friends met Big T and Amanda. And
didn't have to bring it back up.
Amber. Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, putting the jealousy right back into my own body and yours. So here we go. So happy for you guys. Back to the party. What else do we have here? Emmanuel is a crush on Michelle. Michelle thinks he's cute, so there's something potentially happening there. This is the beginning of the I'll Keep You My Dirty Little Secret segment, which I could not believe was playing on the challenge on MTV The Challenge in 2021. Let me know that I've done wrong. I was like, oh my God. Here for it, but oh my God.
I was so happy. First of all, great song. Second of all, people are hooking up on the show again. I feel like finally they listen to people, and this stuff like this would happen on past seasons. Not a ton of it, to be honest, and not usually with, I would say, as big of names as we're partaking this season, but lots of couples forming already, whether it is very casual, a flirting, or some people fully hooking up in this first episode.
You are the only one that needs to know. I was not expecting all the hookups, especially because last season did not have much. But then right into it this season with Nani and Casey, Amanda and Fessy, Nelson and Ashley. Nothing seemed to happen yet with Michelle or Emmanuel, but they do seem to be eyeing each other. And it's just, this is kind of what you expect to see on a challenge season. So, personal opinions about some of the hookups aside, you know, it feels like The Challenge.
These are not couples I would have paired together, though. we start with some newbies with Michelle and Emmanuel. Didn't see this one coming, but I'm here for it. Very excited about that prospect. So curious to see where that develops. We've already touched on Nelson and Ashley, something that I never saw coming. Feel like maybe it could have always been a possibility, but did not expect it. Very excited. Nani and Casey, I guess this one makes a little more sense. It's been a lead up for the past couple of seasons, but they're already, you know, like cuddling, they're, you know, giving little pecks on the lips. So this is starting. And then Amanda and Fessy. I like this one.
So the thing is that, like, I'm sure you've seen this, or maybe you haven't, but apparently Amanda tweeted like years ago when Fessy first went on the show, like, if I ever end up on a show with Fessy, or something about him being really cute, like, she like has had her eye on Fessy for like a while. So, and Fessy says to her, you know, I always said if I was on a show with her, like, I don't know. So these two have definitely been admiring each other from afar, and here they are on the show together. And she makes the comment to all of her friends. She's like, he's just so cute. Like, I don't know. Like, I really, I don't know, whatever. So that's fine. Do your thing. And as long as, you know, again, Amanda, keep your head in the game. I'm fine with whatever you want to do. So I don't know. Where am I going with that? Also, by the way, sorry,
I really liked when, I forget what he said exactly, but he called her some pet name and she's like, ew, call me bruh.
Right.
He's like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to be really into you if I can call you bruh. So I was like, again, I can get behind this weird little showmance that's going on right now.
Yeah, I'm not going into that one. But being on Instagram for the Devin thing reminded me that Michelle Ashley and Amanda are supposed to be going live on Instagram like any minute right now. So ooh. I don't know. Maybe we just stop podcasting, watch it, and you know, comment live. We'll see. so that is pretty cool. Maybe we'll just watch the replay if you know, we're still talking here. But I don't know. Do you have anything else before we get to the list? Because I feel like we need to get to the list.
What do we even have here? I mean, there really is a couple things. Like, we get the, we didn't really talk much about the Nelson and Fessy blow up that results after Corey catches Amanda and Fessy. I like Fessy's defense being like, I already told you I was selfish. Like, yeah, that's all that needed to be said. You're right. So I think ultimately Nelson is right with the conclusion that he comes to with like, maybe I could find a way to forgive him. Maybe we can become friends, but like, we'll never be brothers again. And I think that's probably right. You have to have your guard up, but ultimately you guys are much better off working together on this show, keeping one eye open towards Fessy.
And Fessy, that's on you, because Nelson is willing to like lay his game down for his friend. So could have been you at a moment's notice, but you screwed that one up. So that's you know, and again, that just, you know, another storyline that I'm sure is going to play out more as the season goes on. So they're just kind of setting us up here to remind us that that happened, and you know, we'll get more in on that. But yeah, the list, we have to talk about the list here.
The list
here for hours and hours and hours. So I don't know what's going on here. Michaela supposedly had this piece of paper. Not supposedly, we saw the piece of paper itself. And Emmy saw them talking about it. Next thing you know, she's being a spy. She runs down, tells Tori and Anissa. The whole house finds out about the list, and thus Michaela Bradshaw's game is screwed.
Yeah, I was like, Emmy, what are you doing? You're one of the 8 survivors. Why? But again, Emmy routed out Emmanuel. She's going to route out anybody. So ultimately, not that surprising. I think that there was talk of Emmy and Corey being the original targets here. So you know what? Emmy kept the target off of herself by doing this. Not what I really want to see the target shifting towards Michaela, but she does gain the trust a little bit. Anissa ultimately is ready to discard her later on after she rats him out. But Emmy gets the initial target taken off herself this way.
Just wild as this all plays out. And, you know, Big T, as she mentioned, you know, she wants to work with the rookies or whatever. She just gave Michaela a bit of a heads up, talking about, you know, the house is talking about this list of yours. And Michaela runs upstairs. She goes to get the list. She brings it back down. And Anissa makes a comment in the, you know, confessional being like, this makes you look even more guilty. The fact that you are doing way too much right now, you're like strategizing, plotting, thinking, like showing this list to all your friends. Like, even if it is just a list of all the teams, like you're, and it's not like she, you know, it's not like you can knock Michaela for doing this. Like, everybody tries to, you know, strategize in one way or another. They talked about this, I think, on their podcast as well, being like, everybody has had, you know, some kind of pen and paper at one point or another, but it's still, you know, you're looking for a target early in the game. Michaela had stood out, and, you know, the flames of the fire just got, you know, stoked so much that next thing you know, it's just impossible to stop the ball from rolling down the hill.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, I didn't love this confessional from Anissa, because it came off super fake, where she's like, you know, you're just doing too much and going to show us a list. Like, you look even more guilty right now. It's like, just say that you need an easy target. She made herself one. And so we're going to vote her in. It annoyed me that it's like any person in this position would try to defend themselves. Like, don't act above it, because you would do the same thing. And so that, like, kind of annoyed me. But when you have Emmy swearing on her music career, like, there's no arguing with that, apparently.
What do you think of the Tommy and Michelle, you know, discussion here, as we see the Survivor team is really just not a team?
So I think worse was Tommy's conversation with Big T, where she's like, so I hear there's a list. And he's like, what list? I know nothing of a list. I mean, I've seen a list, but it's like, Tommy, you are folding so quick. So, like, stick with one story. And it's like, well, the survivors are being targeted because it seems like you guys are sketchy and have no loyalty. No loyalty. Should I prove my loyalty by betraying Michaela? It's like, wait, what? Like, it just make yourself seem any sketchier, Tommy, and you're lucky that this is like just with Big T, who's your partner and has no incentive to rat you out. I know earlier in the launch special, they talk about how Tommy's being viewed as potentially a target because Tommy apparently is coming off like a natural leader and he really could get these people together. So I understand that Michaela is now that person who is being viewed as a leader, but Tommy really struggling here in this first episode.
Right. And like we said, during the draft podcast, it did and does kind of still seem a little strange that that Tommy got cast. And I don't mean that in any kind of like, you know, bad way, just like it's not a typical casting choice, like a teacher. You know, this teacher from Long Island, teacher from Long Island. He's not like, you know, the youngest person, a newbie on the cast or anything. So it's, you know, still not the casting choice that makes the most sense. So I feel like for everybody else out there, they're probably like, this guy must be super smart. Like, I mean, they might have watched the season. Maybe they didn't. They're probably like, you know, this guy is going to be a threat. Like, why else is he here if they don't, if not for like, you know, he's a good game player. He won his season of Survivor. So I do think that that is a big factor in, you know, why he may have a big target, and him and Michelle talking about, you know, we're not going to stick our necks out too far to save Michaela, especially as we get to the deliberation, and Michaela's strategy is going to shift a little bit here to putting as much as she can of the target onto Michelle, bouncing it over there, saying, you're the one who knows this game really well. You won Survivor. You're really good at, you know, taking the target off of yourself and putting it onto other people. And now that's on me. And I don't think that's fair. And it's just, like I said, so hard to watch with these two, like that ended up. It was just my one of my many nightmares that could have come out of this, to see them back and forth and the whole rest of the room watching as these two, who I just am so excited are here in the first place, you know, fighting for a spot to not go into elimination, which they both end up going in. It's just awful.
This was not quite Natalie versus Ashley for me like last season, but it was bad. I did not enjoy this.
It was almost worse in a way, and I don't know if that's just because of the way that it all went down and watching these two have to, like, you know, claw at each other in order to stay, and then they both go into elimination anyway. It was just so awful.
Well, that's the thing, is I think Michaela made the wrong call here, and I feel bad because talking in front of any group of 34 people, let alone people who have done this for 11 plus seasons like Nani, is intimidating. You could hear Michaela's voice like shaking a little bit even here. And Michaela's not someone whose voice shakes very often when being on these shows. She's always been very self-assured. So I think Michaela, unfortunately, very similarly to how she ends up getting targeted on her, at least how it's attributed to, on her first season as Survivor, by revealing that she's very strategic and a leader by, you know, making a list basically with the shells. Now she actually has the pen and paper to do so, make the list here. And I think that, like, caught red-handed, you're already working from like a very bad position. I don't know that trying to claim that Michelle is another viable target is the right strategy. I feel like you kind of have to stick with like Emmy is a problem, someone else is a problem, like create the problem, or like, guess what, I'm already going in, rookies, throw every single vote on Tori and like this can happen, or you know, so like there are more than there us than there are of them, vote for them, too bad. So I don't know that that is going to be successful, but guess what, I don't think Michelle was a better option, unfortunately.
Emmy getting involved here, talking about like oh, I saw the list, it was people who you shouldn't trust, people you should trust, people that should go into eliminations, people that are going to win the season, people that smell bad in the morning, people that aren't as pretty as the rest of the people. Like, she's like laying out everything she saw.
She's so dramatic when they're like, because at first Michaela doesn't like Michelle's like, I'm gonna talk, and Michaela's like, no you're not. It's like, oh, okay, this is getting contentious. And then Emmy's like, I was there, I saw everything. It's like, oh my god, be more dramatic, please. Again, full drama queen with Emmy, but really delivers it. Like, there were three categories. It's like, okay, like, just fully eating the scenery. It's so funny, and I feel like you know, solidifies herself as a character this season. Tommy, though, again jumping in with too much information. I think no one, like, you don't need to do this, Tommy. Your name's not really being brought up here, and I get that you think that Michelle is a better ally for you right now than Michaela, but I don't feel like the tide was really swinging so much in Michaela's favor that he needs to jump in here and be like, everything that Emmy said was true, I can corroborate everything. Like, shut up. Like, do like Ashley said and shut up in the elimination. You're not needed here.
Yeah. And then, you know, it bounces back over to being about Tori. You know, we were trying to take Tori out, if anything. It wasn't about anybody else. And then Tori gets, you know, has to jump in to like defend herself. And it's just like, I don't know. It was all over the place. It was the first one here. So, you know, it's kind of expected that it's going to be like a little messy. But this is what I was saying earlier, that like Tori, you know, all of a sudden gets thrown into the mix and she's like, no, I've been quiet. I've been good. Like, you can't put this on me. I'm not doing any of this stuff. Okay, good. Relax.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we didn't see it, but she was like, and I have been called a mean girl. And it's like, did anyone say that? Because I didn't see that.
I mean, they say that all the time, but maybe they didn't say it like today.
Yeah, like maybe that was cut out. Maybe you're projecting from your last season, but not ideal. I don't know. Tori, I am still, again, trying to give her a cleaner slate than I have started with in the past. So I'm not fully out on Tori this season, but you know, she's not quite as high on the list for me as everyone else.
What do you think of the iPad voting?
It looks so stupid. I like that they're all standing around on like whatever. It's dramatic, like the show deserves. I think it's funny. I like when, who was it, like Kyle's like, where's Nelson's face, and he's like, yeah, give it a kiss. Like it, I like that they have like good banter between each other, that they're all there voting at the same time, so I don't have to see like 37 people walk into the room and deliver a vote. Like, I'm good. So
but I guess it's still like very big, like I'm cheating off my friend energy in class. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm, we're gonna all look at each other's paper and know, you know, like there's no secrecy to this, like anybody can see each other. It's weird. It's just so weird.
Yeah, I guess for the actual game dynamics, not great, but it looks okay. And I think that there's a couple other things that are worse for the game dynamics coming up.
They look like the things where you go to pay for your dinner at a restaurant. You go like, you know, put your card in and play games if you want to play games, and maybe accidentally get charged for a game you didn't play. I don't know. I just don't. I didn't see that coming. I'm like waiting, like, is it going to be week two or three where somebody starts to like put their arm over their thing so they like cover up and make sure that nobody sees it? It's just very strange. But like you said, it saves, I guess, a lot of time for not having everybody individually go into vote, which probably did take a long time when they did that last season. So, understand why they did it. Michaela and Renan get compromised. Back in the house, Anissa and Logan were talking about, you know, it did seem like you said, like, Emmy and Corey were the team that were potentially going to be thrown in. Emmy's the strongest girl. She'll take out Michaela, and Corey's, you know, also a strong guy. Like, you know, that'll be a good team to throw in there. They'll probably come back. But when we go to the elimination, which is the lair, thoughts on the lair?
A fine name. Kind of boring. Doesn't stand out.
The arena itself, I thought, I wrote great lighting, but a little underwhelming. I was like, there's not a whole lot to look at here besides a lot of lights. Cool.
I feel like visually it's pretty appealing. Again, I think the name is the part that is lacking the most, but I think it could get old.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see how that, you know, if I don't know. I wasn't the most excited by it. Like, I feel like the past couple seasons I've been like, oh, like this is cool. Like, it looks like a battleground down there. This one wasn't really giving me that, but it is what it is. Can't all be winners. So when they get there, and you know, potentially it's going to be Emmy and Corey going in, but then TJ drops the twist on them here, where the agency can pick any man and any woman from any team. And your thoughts on that are?
I think it's going to disadvantage the rookies a lot, which is making me nervous, because maybe some of these rookie teams are really going to show up and they're going to be able to, you know, throw in one of the veteran teams, but things don't look great in terms of the rookies getting on the same page for voting. I think that the vets are going to generally be leading the strategy for a number of rookies and strong arming them if they need to. No rookie really wants to come to a stalemate and end up going down themselves because they refuse to fold. So I'm a little nervous about this, to be honest.
Yeah, I am not someone who I think generally like dives deep into like the strategy and like the game dynamics and whatnot. Like, I don't talk about it, but like, I don't know. It doesn't excite me in the way that like it does like a Taron Armstrong or Shannon Gus. So I just, I don't know. Like, I'm not like putting too much thought into it, but I did see, you know, some conversation of people that weren't like super loving the way that this is going to go and having the same kind of fear that you were there. So I don't know. I'm open to it. We'll see how it plays out. It kind of just makes it a little bit different from last season, you know, of just pick a team, go in, bam, pick new partners if you want, whatever. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm also really worried about the possibilities of like someone ends up in there who you want to go home, or you're throwing someone in there who you want to go home. Just give them a weak partner, give them a strong partner, and you really can decide this elimination pretty handily by like sabotaging them with their partner selection as yeah. well.
So, I mean, we end up still getting Corey thrown in as far as guys go for this elimination against Michaela and Renan. But then Michelle is going to be the one that goes in, because it's like at this point, you know, we still have a strong guy going in against Renan. You know, is there a huge difference in Emmy versus Michaela or Michelle versus Michaela if we can guarantee that Michelle or Michaela, one of them will go home, is kind of where it feels like they were thinking at this point. And we're obviously going to see that Michaela and Renan will not win this elimination. I don't know if you have particular thoughts about the elimination itself. I didn't love it, but
It was a fine elimination in terms of like fairness and setup. I don't think it was visually stunning.
Very not visually stunning.
Yeah, kind of boring.
Just four people sitting on a perch waiting for somebody to fall, so you know that somebody won. Like,
I was happy that it was only one round, at least that we were shown on TV, yeah. So it didn't waste a ton more time. But it was fine. In fairness, I think that anyone like could stand a shot. It's going to come down to physical size most of the time, but so do a lot of these. So what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. And poor Renan leaves with his arm in a sling, so obviously he was not doing the best after that one. But Michelle and Corey win, and they are staying in the house. It's crushing to be losing Michaela Bradshaw this early, but I have to imagine that I would have felt 100 times more crushed if I had lost Michelle Fitzgerald this early.
Yeah. So, was going to say, which of the, are you happy it went this way? Yeah, it sounds like you are.
It's the same thing as it was, you know, as far as like emotion at the very end of it all with Natalie and Ashley last season. It's like, it's just, how do I, you know,
I get it.
You know, whatever. And last season, I think I said I was fine with it being Natalie that stayed, because, you know, Ashley has had many seasons, and Natalie, you know, this is her rookie season. If she had gone home first, it would have sucked there. So, you know, and I feel it's not the exact same thing by any means, but I do feel like, you know, Michaela can definitely come back. And not to say that Michelle can't, but I'm just happy that Michelle's first season is not going to end. I don't know, whatever. I don't know.
I do think that Michaela stands a better chance of coming back from this than Michelle would have.
Yeah. I am with you there. But then we get to the partner swaps or partner selection. And just like, you know, last season, you can pick a new partner, pick anybody that you want except from the agency. And this is where we find out that Nam isn't here anymore. So there's that. And we have a replacement here.
Mm-hmm. So we get Ed from season one of The Circle. I have mixed feelings on Ed. How do you feel about Ed?
It's just weird because you lose a vet. I mean, I know that Nam is a one season, but that two seasons makes you a vet these days. So I mean, it does feel weird to like lose a veteran guy and gain a rookie guy. And, you know, the general excitement, like in my head, I'm thinking of like, you know, back in the days where like, well, I don't know, like Derek Kaczynski would like join the game as an alternate. And it's like, oh, here's Derek. Like everybody knows Derek. And then it was like, oh, we have a replacement. Here's Ed from The Circle. Like, it's just so underwhelming.
It's also like the whole basis of picking teams was the global agents picking the American agents, and now it's like, hey, here's another American. Hey, now you can pick an American if you want. Feel free, whatever, who cares.
We lost a global agent and gained another American.
Yep. And then you know, American, go ahead, pick another American. Here's two Americans on a team. Okay, that sounds fine, who cares. Like, really lost the plot very quickly.
Yeah. So Michelle's going to infiltrate. TJ is like, smart choice. It's like, yeah, I mean, what, was she going to stick with Ed? Like, who is he?
I feel like what I would say, Ed was on The Circle. We didn't really talk about him like too much. I think it was known that he was going to end up on the season by the time we were drafting everything. Yeah. But don't love Ed the person. I do like Ed the casting choice. So we'll probably be rooting against him quite a bit. But I think he is not a bad choice here.
So yeah, she's gonna end up not choose Michelle. That is, of course, chooses not to stay or stay with Ed as if like she had been with him. She's going to make a pick here that surprises quite a few people and pick Mr. OnlyFans himself, Devin Walker. So a lot of people confused about this. Apparently, Devin was, you know, and we did kind of see it. He was like pointing at himself, which isn't surprising because he was with Tracy, who seems, you know, as we said in the draft, like one of the weaker girls out there compared to the rest of the field. And Michelle is a Survivor winner who just won an elimination. I'm not surprised to see Devin wanted to be picked, and this team, as I think I have seen a couple of other people say, pretty standable.
See, I almost was standing Michelle and Nam more, but yeah, still pretty standable here.
I mean, you had like 3 minutes to stand Michelle and Nam.
Well, I stand very actively for those three.
So, I mean, it's going to be hard for me to not stand Michelle and whoever she's with, but Michelle and Devin pairing works for me. I'm here for it. And then we had Corey Lay pick Tori Lay as his new partner. So that's going to be a new pairing. Apparently he wanted her from the beginning.
Sure. And I think, you know what? Pretty good choice. Kells looks like absolutely devastated. So, which was also pretty funny. I think that maybe they'll end up back together at some point down the line. But for now, you know, I'm excited for the new teams.
We were not able to get out of this episode without one more Emmyism.
Yes, Mr. TJ.
Emmy, yes, Mr. TJ. Everyone lost it. You and Ed are now partners because you guys were abandoned by your old partners. Cool. So Emmy and Ed are together, and Kells and Tracy are now together. So, you know, four brand new teams going back to the house. Okay, cool. It seems like the teams are going to be very fluid this season, as, yep, you know, probably way more than they were last time around. And that's that.
All right. So I'm debating in which direction I want to take this now, but I guess, like you said, we got four new teams. You know what we usually do at this point. It's a lot to be ranking here. Do you have any big winners and losers? I don't know that you have to rank all eight, but who do you think really benefited and really lost out from this?
Well, Michelle definitely benefits. She's now both Michelle and Corey both benefit because if the vets are sticking together, you know, getting into Corey was with a rookie. Michelle was with was going to be with a rookie if she had stayed with Ed. So now they're both tied to veterans and, you know, both tied to relatively capable veterans. Devin, as far as the political game goes, and Tori, a couple of different aspects of the game, especially while all of her friends are still in the house or, you know, she's sticking with the vets. So I feel like both of them are looking good after this. The losers are the other two teams now, Kells and Tracy. What is happening there? Emmy and Ed. Yeah, it's just, you know, wait till your number gets called.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that Tracy still did upgrade from a physical perspective, and probably like overall, I think Kells is a stronger competitor. But in terms of social dynamics, I think they're going to not be in a great position moving forward. So curious to see how that plays out. I think ultimately that is my rough outline for the winners and losers here as well.
Just annoyed that, like, you know, of course, with that whole thing at the end that Tracy did get a confessional, I would have gotten another point if that had not been the case in the must lose draft. But what are you going to do? Overall, had not the worst week. You didn't have the best week in the must lose draft. So to check in with that. We have the update from the DDs that have sent it over to Brian and Allie, who have sent it over to us. It looks like Allie has 1.5 points, right?
All right. Well, she's losing some of those points when Amber shows up.
Right. So that's why I said it so questioningly, because I was looking at it earlier and I was like, do I count this? Well, I think we know Amber's coming, so I don't really know what to do with that. So I don't know. I guess maybe you could technically say Allie has negative 0.5 currently.
Yeah, 1.5. I think that's fair.
Scally currently has negative 2 points. I currently have 4.5 points. And Brian Cohen is picked both Renan and Michaela. So a big point week for him with 6 points, taking the lead there. And please, Scally, do not mess this up for us.
I'm nervous. Really left Renan on the board there for too long, but he got lucky with that Michaela pick, and I'll stand by that.
So, yeah. Tracy, really, like the one confessional. Like, I could have had the one extra point, and 5.5 right behind Brian's 6 would have felt so good. But, you know.
Would have been nice. Would have been nice. So do we want, I don't know how much you want to talk about, know about the rumored things that happened before the shutdown.
I definitely do. Let me just quickly talk about our draft as well before I forget, I can like close this page. Our draft with Haley and Colin. Currently, I, because we are never going to figure out the appropriate scoring for this draft ever on in our lives, but I do remember that I said we're going to do must, like episode survived points because there's no skulls, whatever. So currently, my team has 13 points. I had Logan, you know, with the big point adding. From his win, you are right behind me with 12 points. You, of course, had Anissa with those points, and you just lost Michaela. Behind you with 10 points is Colin, who lost his first draft pick, Nam, but still has a pretty strong rest of his team. Michelle getting an elimination win, and then Haley right behind with 9 points. So a very close, you know, after week one, Renan is off of Haley's team, and Amber has not yet entered the game on Haley's team. But that's where we are.
All right. Well, you know, I would say solid all around. Very upset to lose Michaela on the draft there. Really could did not benefit on either side for me, whether which would either draft.
No matter how you look at it. Yep. So that's that. And yes, I do want to know what you are going to say. I can't imagine many people want to bounce out here, but if you do, I don't know. Fast forward to whenever there's like a minute left and we're doing our plugs.
Well, because it's been hard. It has been hard to do any research on this because I don't want to get spoiled on anything else. So I'm not doing this research personally. This is from what people have told me. And I don't think there's any shot that this is like misinformation where it's an upcoming elimination. I'm pretty sure that this is because I had... full honesty, seen the rumor that this person went home very early before the shutdown happened and was not happy. So allegedly, before the shutdown happened, there was an elimination. And once they decided that they were going to shut down and restart the season, they called an audible. That elimination was never mind. That never happened. And everybody got brought back. And so I don't know who went into the full elimination, but I do know one of the people who was allegedly eliminated being our favorite Big T.
Wait, start that over. I mean,
so allegedly,
you're saying that there was an entire elimination, but that doesn't, was there? So sorry, stumbling. So was she, you're saying she was eliminated?
Yes.
With somebody like,
So I have been trying to figure that out. I don't know if the format changed because of the rescheduling of the, you know, the second lockdown. Obviously they had to go into quarantine for a little while and scheduling in terms of the filming did change. So I don't know if it was always going to be team eliminations or if it was solo eliminations, before the shutdown. Did they change it to team eliminations so that they could speed the process up a little bit? Or did Tommy's, you know, leadership qualities make him and Big T a threat and they got eliminated together? I don't know that. All I know is that I had seen even, and I'm glad that I was now falsely spoiled and have been told that no, in fact, an elimination did happen. Big T was eliminated, but they were all quarantined back at the hotel. Season started over and Big T rejoined the cast.
And nobody was mad about it?
I mean, can you be that mad at Big T? I also don't know if anyone was mad about it, if they would be showing it. I don't think lost. It's not like Michaela went out and Michaela came back. Like, that's a big threat that's rejoining and someone that you don't have a huge relationship with. But allegedly, again, this is what I'm hearing from multiple sources, that Big T was, in fact, eliminated and they restarted the season.
I just feel like I need more information because, like, how did she get into elimination? Like, the House didn't vote Big T in. Are you saying Anissa and Logan put? Big T.
I have, again, no idea. I've asked for millions of things. I've said, was it a partner's elimination? I don't know. Who was she against? I don't know. Was Tommy also eliminated? I don't know. So I don't have all of that information. I have not been able to look for it myself. I'm not asking for anyone to send us spoilers because always nervous about the you know, wormhole that will open up. But all I know, again, is allegedly she was sent home and immediately brought back.
All right. Well, if this is true, grateful for the shutdown and the fact that we are living in a world where that literally doesn't even exist. I don't know. That's interesting. I yet again find myself in a world where all of these possibilities just sound terrible as for first boots. So I just there's a bad option there. There's a bad option there. But Michaela going home, bad option there. So, you know, this is where we are now, regardless of what might have happened then. Michaela and Renan being out first. Anything else weird, fishy from that time that, anymore?
Not from that time. I think that Amber is going to be entering very soon. Okay. So I think that's on the table. I don't know. You said so. You might want to guess about that. Do you want to guess about that on air, off air?
Next week or the week after, whenever Amber enters, just because in case, like, there is, you know, something, whatever, just,
yeah, sounds good.
Easier. Just kind of leave that behind. Yeah, no, I think that's all I have. And I have one note at the bottom of my notes here. I don't gather a whole lot from social media because there is just way too much. But I couldn't help but notice, you know, all of Amanda's tweets on the night of the premiere, because she tweeted about Tori like 6 times. Not like about Tori, but each time that she tweeted about Tori, she spelled it T-O-R-Y. And I just want to tell you guys about it.
Oh, interesting. I mean, I have seen Michelle sending some stuff out that was very much like, oh, people who think they're in, like, a nice girl when they're really like a mean girl in full. It's like, I wonder who that's about. Maybe someone who thought that they were being called a mean girl this episode. So, yeah, I think that there's plenty of shade being thrown around on social media. Always appreciate anything non-spoilery being brought to our attention. That's always fun. But overall, I would say extremely excited about this cast. I mean, I've raved over the newbies and how I'm even willing to give some of these vets another chance. So very pumped for the rest of the season.
So I'm checking Instagram. I don't see Michelle, Ashley, and Amanda live at the moment. That's disappointing, but you know, maybe it's a good thing because when we hang up this and if they pop up, and then I can watch it, and then we'll talk about it next time. That's all I have, I think, from the, you know, we've already been here long enough. I think I am all out of notes for this week. Do you have anything else from the premiere of season 37? We didn't spend much time talking about the ridiculousness of Spies, Lies, and Allies, but what can even be said at this point?
There's no amount of conversation that could do justice to how bad the name is.
I had a brief thought of, like, maybe I should come in here each week and, you know, give you, like, 3 other random names that rhyme, but that is way too much work. So I don't know. Maybe someone out there can send me that each week, and I'll give you credit, and I'll you know, open up the show. This is
there we go.
You know, whatever. So that's not happening. But yeah, what a premiere.
What a premiere indeed. I am very excited to, you know, I liked the extra content. I really did like how they opened up. I feel like, I wonder how this premiere played having not watched the launch special, because I thought it made a really good 2-part episode. And I'm wondering if this second part was as successful without part one.
I can't imagine it was. I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, anybody that watched it just the second part is, like, you know, not like crying that they don't know what anything is going on. But the first part was definitely key into, you know, the understanding of just where everything is at this season. So,
Especially getting to know some of these newbies, I think it helped a lot. So, very fun.
What else is going on in the world of Brian Scalley these days, as far as podcast appearances go, or, you know, Love Island? What else is happening?
All right. So, finishing up on Love Island over on the RHAP wrap ups. The finale is on Sunday. So going to be talking about that last batch of episodes over there, as well as recently announced, we'll be talking about the, as ranked by the viewers, 5th best season of Survivor, Survivor China, as ranked by me, the best season of Survivor over there. So that's going to be a ton of fun. People should tune into that. And otherwise, I will be here every week, and anything else that shows up will be on Twitter at Brian_Scalley.
There it is. As far as me goes, so here's the thing. You know, you and I have already talked about this, but just to let the listeners know, I'm not like 100% guaranteeing my attendance here for the next couple of weeks because I still am really, really busy. I'm definitely hoping to, you know, be able to show up every week, but I really don't feel like I can guarantee it, at least for just like the rest of August. Get into September and I should have no problem, you know, squeezing out the hours, but like this is like, especially like late August. Like, I'll tell you off air just like how crazy this is, you know, whatever. So no one cares about that. So just like on the off chance that you don't hear from me in the next 2 weeks, I will be back. Maybe Scally have a guest pop in, or maybe I'll just be here and we'll pretend this never even happened. But just throwing that out there, that's a possibility. 19 weeks of this season. We're going to be here till Christmas. So if I miss like 2 weeks, not the end of the world. You've done it without me before, and you can do it again. So that's that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. See how it goes. See who's around. Hopefully it's you.
You want my full schedule? Like, there's a week in October I'm not going to make as well. We'll talk about it all. All right. So that's that for the premiere of Spies, Lies, and Allies. Thank you guys all so much for being with us here this week. I'm on Twitter at Matt Liguori. Scally, again, is at Brian_Scally. For anything else that you need to find us on, I'm not doing any other podcast right now. I barely have time for this one. But that's all that we have here this week. So until next time, take care, everybody.